Hello and welcome to this edition of the Middle East Today. Coming to you from Beirut, I'm Maryam Saleh. As security in Syria deteriorates with fears of more bombings, continuous fighting between the National Army and rebel forces, the United Nations Special Envoy continues his efforts to create an agreement with the consensus of all parties. Now, where can these efforts reach in light of the Syrian opposition's refusal of a political solution, while some groups have even called for military intervention? Will there be Arab and Western efforts to exert more political and even military pressure on Assad? Or will the West leave the resolution to countries like Russia and China in order to avoid a possible Cold War? Now, for more on this issue, I am joined by Professor Mohsen Saleh. He is a professor at the Lebanese State University, also joined by Mr. Jihad Muraqadeh, political analyst, both joining me here in the studio in Beirut. I'm also joined by Mr. Waddah Al-Khatib. He's a political analyst joining us from Damascus. Let me begin with you, Mr. Al-Khatib. Maybe you can tell us of the latest of the efforts of Mr. Kofi Annan, special UN envoy to Damascus, his efforts and what you know of this. And does his plan include the fact that Syrian President Bashar Assad has to step down?
I know his plan does not include that. Obviously, Annan is negotiating not for the departure of the current government and its structure, but really negotiating with the current government for a certain measure of stability in Syria. Obviously, as a negotiation game, as an attempt at having a certain bargaining position, Annan came with a number of suggestions and a number of really conditions, and the Syrian government has retorted. I think what we're talking about right now is an attempt by the West, through the medium of Kofi Annan and the international and the United Nations, an attempt to actually resolve this issue with the best possible results or the least losses at their part.
Yes. Now, how do you look at the latest explosions in Damascus and Halab? Do you think that they were carried out in order to let Mr. Annan's plan fail, or was it in coordination with the opposition that is, of course, having its dialogue with the United Nations and Western powers?
Well, obviously, a terrorist attack in any country forms pressure on the government. I mean, it was when you blow a security building or headquarter in the middle of a residential area, this is going to cause a great deal of discontent on the part of the population. So I think any reasonable observer would see in those explosions this past weekend as a message from certain segments in the armed opposition that they're not interested in any political resolution of the current conflict.
All right, let me come to Mr. Muraqadeh and see maybe you can have a response to this. The fact that the opposition, especially those in exile, do not want, or those who are fighting the National Army, do not want a political solution. And the fact that they are calling for military intervention, more weapons. And you hear this also from Arab leaders, such as Saudi Arabia and Qatar. They're calling also for sending in more weapons to these groups. Does that also show that there will be no political solution, or at least they will refuse a political solution?
I don't think that they do not want a political solution. What they said is they do not want a political solution with the present regime. It means they want a political solution inside Syria. However, they do not want the present regime to stay, both the opposition and Saudi Arabia and the countries of the Gulf. However, coming back to the issue of the explosions in Damascus and Aleppo, well, first of all, we don't know who is behind these explosions. It is normal for the Syrian government to say that the opposition is behind them, and on the other side, the opposition say the Syrian government is behind them. However, as the gentleman in Damascus said earlier, he said this kind of explosion creates unsatisfaction and terror within the population. I would just like to draw his attention to the fact that the Syrian government is doing exactly the same, if not worse, in Homs, Hama, Idlib, and so on. So the bombing of the civilian population in Homs and Hama is no different from the bombs in Damascus.
What do you think, Dr. Saleh? Do you think that it's more like a war of two sides, both terrorizing the other?
No. First of all, we should define the situation in Syria. There is a regime, and there are superpowers in the world, and there are regional powers who try to topple this regime. This regime collects and, of course, supported by the majority of the Syrians, by the military institution, and by the business and economic institutions in Syria. This regime has been stable for a long time, and the Americans and the Israelis and some of the Arabs, they are pro-change as far as these changes serve their agenda in the region, especially in terms of the acknowledgement of the Israeli existence. And that's what the regime in Syria refused to do so and supported the resistance movements in Lebanon and in Palestine. That would give us the signal that they are going to continue, the United States and the Western powers and some of the Arab countries, especially Qatar and Saudi Arabia, who declared overtly that they are going to support these gangs until they topple the regime. The regime proved solidly that he is strong enough to defend the country and the political agenda and the Syrians. And that's why, since they could not achieve their goals, the Western powers and the Saudis, they resorted to this damaging and terrorist acts in Syria, in Damascus and in Aleppo.
Do you think that there's a contradiction?
Probably they're going to continue to do this. Mm-hmm. They don't want a political solution as far as the regime preserved its identity in this conflict in the Middle East.
Yes, but you hear powers, if I may. You agree with that,
the political solution, not with the present regime.
Who doesn't want that? The Americans and the Israelis and Qatar and Saudi Arabia.
Let me ask this question, Mr. Meraqadi. Don't you think that the West somewhat backed down on their first goals, if we may say, since they are saying now that we accept the political
change?
Yes, they are saying that at least let him hand down power to his vice president. That's all we want for now, in order for there to be a political solution. They're not calling for the entire regime or the Ba'ath party to completely step down.
I think the West has backed down on the regime change issue, in the sense that they're not calling overtly for the regime change, although they do not like the regime, but they know that the regime cannot do anything anymore except bomb its people. So as far as the West is concerned, the regime is not really an issue. And if they accept that Kofi Annan goes and talks to the regime, it means they have given the regime some kind of legitimacy.
Well, yes, don't think that that's the case.
It's a joke. The regime wants to show its people that he or it can protect them.
The
Riyad Assad, what so-called the Free Army, promised the Syrians to do these terrorist acts 2 weeks ago, told the reporters and the people.
But don't you think that the regime is doing as much terror as the others?
No. They are defending the people.
By destroying a whole city?
No. Listen.
I mean, come on.
They are defending the people.
Is that the way you defend?
They are defending the people in Syria. And the others, they are avenging from Damascus and Aleppo. You know why these explosions only hit Syria in Damascus and Aleppo? Because these people, these terrorists, try to avenge from these people because they did not participate with them in what so-called revolution or uprising.
Mr. Al-Khatib, let me ask him what we've heard from Russia, a kind of criticism towards the Syrian government for not having a quicker pace in reform plans. Do you think that this is serious, or is this a way to show that Russia is now with the UN initiative, with Kofi Annan's initiative to find a solution to the crisis?
I mean, naturally, Russia right now is in a position of power, and it wants to assert itself as the new player on the international arena, as regaining its force. I wouldn't take seriously the criticisms of Lavrov as being a shift or a paradigm shift as far as his position or Russian position towards Syria. But I want to come back, Mariam, essentially, because I am in Syria. I want to come back to the issue of the government bombing its people, killing its elite forces, killing itself, destabilizing itself. This type of argument has to stop. Thousands of people have been killed. And this name calling and this attempt at just kind of saying that the government is responsible for every bloodshed in the country, including one that targets its very foundations, it's just ludicrous. And it doesn't lead anywhere. A year after the beginning of this crisis, what we are seeing is a government and not a regime that has managed, with under all this international pressure, has managed to stay in power regardless of the weird alliance between Al-Qaeda and the United States and the Gulf Sheikhdoms and the Al-Sauds and so on and so forth. And basically this government has managed to maintain a certain measure of security in the major metropolitan areas.
What kind of security? By bombing a whole city? You have destroyed half of Hamas.
Sir,
what kind of security is this?
Sir, I did not interrupt you. Sir, listen to me.
Yes, no, but
I did not interrupt you. I did not interrupt you. I did not interrupt you. So would you please wait until I finish?
Yes, go ahead.
Now, bombing a whole city, yes, bombing a whole city will have to be visually apparent, okay? This, just talking about bombing, and Homs, by the way, we have been hearing from Mr. Marqadi and his likes, basically. The Homs has been bombarded since August, if you remember. It will have to be the largest city in the world, and Baba Amr the largest neighborhood. And for standing so far, as one Jordanian security expert said, if it has been bombarded by potatoes by now, it would have been, you know, leveled to the ground. People who are in Homs, people who live in Homs, people who go to Homs, see that this talk about mindless bombardment of large civilian population is a complete falsehood. There are a lot of tragic losses of life among civilians, and somebody has to be held accountable, and we cannot be just armchair critics sitting somewhere and saying the government is bombing itself and it's bombing its people.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Khatib, does Syria sense that there is some kind of a transformation on the global level, that the Western powers would perhaps just put aside the fact that stop calling for the ouster of Bashar Assad?
There is definitely a paradigm shift as far as the global scene. The very fact that the French government for the first time condemned the explosions in Damascus this Saturday is an indication. The fact that the United States is supporting the Annan mission, which is basically saying it is a mission that wants to work with the current Syrian government to find a solution. All these indicate a certain withdrawal, if you will, or backing down on the part of the Western powers. And so I think what we're looking at is a process of negotiation at various levels. Mm-hmm. Within the international community to allow for the start of some sort of dialogue within Syria.
Yes, well, it seems that's been given also some time. But also, Mr. Marqadi, wouldn't you agree that the fact that we hear from the Arab leaders calling for sending arms to the opposition, and there have been reports that arms have been smuggled through Jordan and even Lebanon. I don't know what you have on that. But can we say that they're trying to have two parallel efforts, one military and one political?
In my opinion, the sending arms and weapons to the opposition is not going to stop, because if you stop sending them arms and weapons, then you are just opening the door to the regime just to take over. And this is not going to stop. On the one hand, you're going to have people talking to the regime like Kofi Annan and so on and so forth, and hoping about a political solution. But whatever political solution comes out of it, you can say that Syria has been neutralized as a regional player for the foreseeable future. I cannot see Syria playing any role in places like Lebanon, Israel, or Iran or Turkey or whatever, or Iraq, for the foreseeable future. They have been neutralized. They are too busy. Whether President Bashar stays in power or does not stay in power, he's going to be too busy fighting the opposition.
Would you agree that the West does not want Cold War with Russia and China, and that it's their turn now to take
things on?
That's
one aspect. The other aspect is that the problem is with these people in the Gulf. They talked keenly with supporting the opposition, and they said we should arm these people and so and so. The Westerners and the Americans, they always, in their statements, they are vague. That's why the difference between the two teams influenced the situation. And now the Americans and the Westerners, they are talking about a political solution.
And they're the reluctant Arabs, to send
the Arabs, arms. The Arabs, the Saudi Arabia especially, and mm-hmm. Qatar, they can't retreat from their statements. They said they wanna, they promised what so-called the free army to support mm-hmm. them in arms and money, and they are paying every day. They are paying millions of dollars and probably now billions of dollars. By now, the issue now is that Syria is strong. Syria as a regime, as a government, and not fragile as they thought. They bet on this, that this regime is fragile,
so
and
it's
they
not
can
neutralized,
do things.
Like Mr. They,
no, no. The issue is that the regime and the government proved that they are strong. That's why the Europeans and the Americans now, they don't want any military military work in
well,
on the borders. They could not find Benghazi, another Benghazi, to go. The NATO would go to this Benghazi, because in Homs or in Daraa or in other places, they could not find a really space in order to stay. That's why they retreat. Now they are going to press the regime politically and economically. That's why they take all sizes of sanctions and boycotting the Syrians and the central bank and the companies there in Syria. And I guess they have a problem. They can't continue. That's why in April or in other months to come, they cannot influence the regime, because this regime is strong by its people mm-hmm. and by its army.
But why they cannot continue?
They are able to continue with the support of Russia and China. More than half of the world with the Syrian regime and government. China.
And Russia.
And Russia and India. And Brazil,
no,
and Venezuela,
no,
and Iran, and the Arab people, most of them. I've read many articles to the Egyptians today.
Most of the Arabs today are exactly against the Syrian regime.
No.
Because
that's,
the Syrian regime is behaving.
That's what the media,
is behaving
that's what
like
Al Jazeera and Al Arabiya.
Like
that's what Al Jazeera and Al Arabiya.
You don't need Al Jazeera and Al Arabiya.
When you
go to Egypt and
when
you think
you
they're
watch,
happy.
When you watch these two channels,
the
you
people
think
of Tahrir Square,
the regime is going to fall tomorrow.
The
that's the problem. That's the problem.
Let me ask you.
They fought against the military. What are you telling me?
You watch.
I don't want to watch the
military
in Tahrir Square.
Deficit.
The military was shooting against
channels,
them. You think I can support
deficit
them?
Channels of deceiving eyes
yes.
and
well, obviously,
ideas.
Obviously, there are two sides, of course, in this. But don't you think that the disagreements within the opposition itself has led to the fact that the West only needs a political solution now?
It is. You are totally correct. The disagreement within the opposition as to foreign intervention, as to military help, or who to help, or Al-Qaeda, or whatever, okay? All these disagreements have really prevented the West or the other countries to help the opposition. And this means that, yes, they do want a political solution, but a political solution on their terms. And as long as there is not a political solution on their terms, I mean the terms of the people opposed to the regime, okay, you're going to continue to have trouble in Syria. And this is why I said the regime will continue to have trouble with these fighting forces.
Uh-huh. If the Syrians are with the opposition, then the opposition would be powerful. The weakness of the opposition
prove that this opposition and its supporters are weak because the regime and the government are strong enough to defend themselves.
Let me ask Mr. Al-Khatib just one more question. Do you think, in fact, with the previous stances of Turkey and countries like Saudi Arabia and Qatar, do you think if Mr. Assad stays in power, that the political future and relations of these countries would be bad, exactly, would not be as good as it used to be?
I think with Turkey, it would be a different issue from the Gulf sheikdoms and kingdoms. Obviously, Syria, if Syria gets out of this safe, and all indications now that it will, then it will be in a stronger position than it was previously. Now, with Turkey, there is a political system, there is a democratic process, and there is a great deal of discontent, as we see and we hear and we read, among the Turkish population, particularly those who supported Erdogan on the platform that he ran for, discontent with his regional politics. And I think Syria will keep that door open with Turkey in the future, particularly with a change in the government of Erdogan. As far as the relationships with the Gulf, I think we have to differentiate between two positions. Saudi Arabia and Qatar on the one hand, and the rest of the Gulf sheikdoms that are reluctantly dragging their feet behind the Saudis and the Qataris. I think as far as the foreseeable future is concerned, those relationships have been seriously damaged. And without any sort of serious contrition on the part of the Qataris in particular, I don't see in the near future any window for improved relationships with those countries.
How do you look at the demand by some protesters inside Syria or those who support the opposition outside of Syria calling for military intervention? How legitimate is that claim in your opinion?
Well, that claim is definitely not legitimate. I mean, when a population, if we assume that there is a large segment of the population, asks for the intervention of outside forces to topple its own government, that means it doesn't have the critical mass of people who support changing the government. Usually what we have seen in other places, from the Iranian revolution of the 70s to the Egyptian revolution most recently, is a critical mass of the population that went out to the streets demanding to change the government. And the price that will be paid is tragic. Regardless of what we feel about what happened in Iraq in the 90s, a couple of days ago was the anniversary of the invasion of Iraq by the American forces, and we know the price that the Iraqi people have paid. Outside forces are not charities, they're not Santa Claus, they're not going to come and create a utopia in our part of the world.
Yes, I want to thank you
very much,
Mr.
There's a price to be paid.
Yes, unfortunately, our time has run out for now. I want to thank you, Mr. Wadah Al-Khatib, joining us from Damascus, Mr. Jihad Murqadi here in Beirut, Professor Mohsen Saleh. I want to thank you all for being with us. Our email is metoday@presstv.com. We are waiting for your feedback. Stay with Press TV. Goodbye for now.